Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this gift of faith that which you've given us that we celebrate this day. Lord, we thank you that you have in fact come to be with us and that you are with us now and that you will be with us when we leave this place and you will be with us tomorrow and all the days until we see you face to face. Lord, may this peace, may this joy, and this truth rest in us daily. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So my senior year of high school, I had a basketball coach that had a profoundly positive impact on my life. His name was Randy Weisinger, Coach Weisinger. And I only had him for 1 year, but the lessons he taught me and the work ethic he instilled in me still blesses me to this day. But Coach Weisinger was not a man to be toyed with. You didn't trifle with Coach Randy Weisinger. When we were on that basketball court between those lines, that was his world. And he was the sole dictator of that world. What he said is what we did or what we were supposed to do. And he had a very, very low tolerance for any deviation from his plan. The play he put in was the play we were to run, no question about it. And when we didn't follow those instructions, when we got a little loose in our focus and our execution, particularly during practice, Coach Weisinger's wrath was swift and painful. We knew we were running short on his patience, and things were about to get really dark, when Coach Weisinger would say, "Enough already." We were being lazy, we were goofing around, our focus was off, we were doing just something foolish, and Coach Weisinger would get very serious. And he'd look at us, and he'd kind of like, he was kind of bald like me, and very intimidating, and he'd lower his face, and he'd go, "Enough already." And then he'd follow that with, "Get on the line." Get on the line meant that playtime was over, and it was punishment time. Get on the line meant we went to the long end of the court, the narrow side, the baseline, and we stood there, and we waited for his whistle. Get on the line meant we were running sprints until we felt like death. And it was miserable. I hated hearing when Coach Weisinger would say, "Enough already." That meant pain was coming. But here's the thing. Coach Weisinger, he wasn't this just wicked tyrant that joyed in seeing us suffer. He was a very reasonable man. All throughout practice, he'd been giving us hints that we needed to tighten things up. We weren't listening. He'd been giving us all these warnings that we need to start doing things better, but being a bunch of dumb teenage boys, we ignored those warnings, and we just kind of did our own thing, and so then we suffered the consequences. This Old Testament book we read from this morning, Zephaniah, only 3 chapters, but it's filled with words of warning from our God. It was written around the time of the major prophet Jeremiah, staged along the timeline of the Israelites' existence pre-Babylonian exile. So this was largely a warning text. Real deal pain was coming for God's people. And from the very start of this book, we see that God's had enough with his people. Right from chapter 1, God is saying enough already. Speaking through Zephaniah, God said, "I will utterly sweep away everything from the face of the earth. I will sweep away man and beast. I will cut off mankind from the face of the earth." Consider the thoroughness of those words, utterly sweep away everything. That leaves no wiggle room, does it? I remember when Coach Weisinger would say enough already. I always hoped he was singling someone out. I always hoped he was pointing to someone, not me. There was a kid on our team named Quinn, super guy. Loved playing with Quinn. But Quinn had a way of getting coach's attention and keeping it. So when Coach said enough already, I kind of looked. I always hoped he was talking about Quinn and not me. Talk about anybody else, but don't send me to the line, Coach. Now, in this text, in this word from our Lord, we see the Lord is sending the whole team to the baseline. Enough already, everyone. This brings to mind Romans 3, doesn't it? Some of that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God stuff, doesn't it? Before the Lord Almighty, all have sinned and stand deserving of his justified judgment and wrath. And the words of our Lord show this thoroughness in chapters 2 and 3. In chapters 2 and 3, it shows that God's talking to everybody. He's not singling anybody out. Chapter 2, he goes into the people that are not his people, the nations that are not his chosen. The Cherethites, the Philistines, the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Cushites, the Assyrians. God's saying, all of you nations, you're going to feel my wrath. But be careful, Israel, because here comes chapter 3. God says, oh yeah, Israel, you too, you're going to feel my wrath also. But why, God? Why your chosen, created, beloved people? Why are you pouring your wrath out on them? They're yours. God tells us why. He said his wrath is for those who have turned back from following the Lord, those who do not seek the Lord or inquire of him. See, his wrath was and is for those that ignore his voice, those that choose to go their own way instead of his way, those who know what is good and yet turn to what is bad. And not one person during that time could stand before God and go, oh, he's not talking about me. All had sinned and fallen short of God's expectations. And all stood before his wrath rightly, because God had sent prophet after prophet after prophet to say, stop doing these things, warning his people time and time again. This is how you are to live, Israel. This is how you are to react with each other and interact. I am the Lord God that you are to follow. But what did they do? They played the role of the dumb teenage boys. They covered their ears. And as we hear these words today, we need to be very careful that we don't say, oh, he's not talking about me. Because we too fall short of God's glory. We too mute his voice often throughout our daily lives. And for those looking for a way around it, where's my video game people? For that cheat code, right? Where's the cheat code around God's wrath? God cancels that out too. He said, neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them on the day of the wrath of the Lord. Your idols won't save you. You can't talk your way out of this. There's no claim of innocence. These first 2.5 chapters of this short book of Zephaniah are filled with lots of warning from our Lord. Lots of law. And it's still today words that we heed, that we listen to, because we are not yet with our Lord. Temptations still abound around us. The devil is still prowling and doing his dirty work in our lives. Now, there's this common misconception in God's word, particularly in the Old Testament, that the Old Testament is just this book of God's wrath, negativity. All law, no gospel. All wrath, no love. And if we just read the first part, the 2/3 of the book of Zephaniah, we might fall into that false belief and understanding of the scripture. If we just close that book right there. But when we hear the words read this morning, from verses 14 through 20, we see God's gospel love absolutely flooding onto the scene. The words we read, God closes this book of Zephaniah with these resounding words of love and care and provision for his people. For his people then, and for his people now, for us today. I want you to indulge me here for a moment. I want you to close your eyes. I want you to let these words just sit on your heart. These words of love from our Lord. Sing aloud, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has cleared away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall never again fear evil. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. Doesn't sound like a God of wrath, does it? No, that sounds like a God of great love, great kindness, and great mercy. That sounds like a God of love who has his beloved children in his midst, and he's rejoicing and celebrating over the relationship that he has with them. This Christmas season, we celebrate that God is in our midst, that he has chosen to come into this world to save us, to rescue us, and to keep us close to himself. And whenever I'm over in the preschool, I get to go over there weekly and I get to teach these little kids lessons. And I always like to break it down to the most simple, basic thing. And when I tell them this and I ask them, I tell them this story and I ask them, and I said, why did he do this for you? Why did God come into this world for you? Why did he come to save you? Very simply, because he loves you. As basic as we can get it. Christ was born. Christ was crucified. Christ is risen because he loves you. This is no casual thing. The creator of all things, the sustainer of all things, the one who made the sun rise somewhere behind those clouds this morning, loves you. This is worth rejoicing over. Echoing the words of Paul from Philippians, rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice, let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. We rejoice today. We rejoice every day because our Lord God is with us. Our Lord came into this world. He lived, he died, he rose because he loves you and me. So that you and I can have this peace, like Paul said, this peace that surpasses all understanding comes from our Lord. So as you continue this Advent season, amidst all the wonderful activities and great celebrations and beautiful things that you get to do with family and friends, remember that the Lord is in your midst and the Lord loves you. I want to close with these words. I want to echo Paul's words. I was having a Bible study with a friend this week, and he talked about how these special words from Paul have echoed in the churches that he grew up in and the churches he's been a part of, and how they're very, very special words. So I want to close with these special words from Paul. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.